Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
It is June 11th. June 11th, cut that part out in post. June 11th, 2024, the NXT After Battleground. And here we are on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Mr. Matt Kuhn. Tonight, to talk about NXT, the fallout from Battleground. I was there on Sunday. Blink and you'll miss me on the ramp. Heck of a show. Did you watch Battleground at all?
I did. Yeah. I enjoyed it as a mediumish quality wrestling event on a Sunday night. It was fine, and I was entertained for the most part.
Yeah, that opening ladder match was really fun to watch in person. So much happened during that. I think Sol Ruka continues to be an absolute superstar. It's amazing they did that vignette on her tonight, even though she lost. They were like, we're going to give her time because, yes, it is. She's going to be wearing a title belt by the end of the year.
Yeah. You know, with those ladder matches, NXT, they have a history of sometimes putting in people that are low and inexperienced in those ladder matches. Yeah. And so sometimes when they have those kind of matches, especially the multi ones where there's so many more variables, there's so much more danger just inherent in the structure of the match, I get a little concerned and it kind of distracts me a little bit. But yeah, I agree with you on the Sol Ruka. And also, I thought it was a good, good pay-per-view. Like, you know, I went to like three Brooklyns. And, I went to Dallas. Went to San Jose, the first one ever. You know, like, I mean, we were NXT, me and Matthew were NXT people before when it was just on Hulu, you know? So going to all those shows and being such an NXT person, you know, I still compare. And, you know, it's, it was not at that level at all, you know, of a take.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, they're rebuilding, but that being said, I left the show Sunday feeling like even though they just had a lot of talent leave for the main roster, it's a period of change and they're going to the CW. It was like, oh, and Jose's in the chat. I met Jose at the show. It was great meeting you as well, Jose. But I feel like NXT is in good hands right now. I feel that they got to make it to the CW debut and then it's going to gel. It's going to get there, but we'll talk about tonight. I think a lot happened. First, I just want to hit some news and then we'll touch on some more Battleground developments throughout the show, including something that I learned, an NXT secret that I will reveal later in the show. So in the news, Cody Rhodes, who, you know, the America's sweetheart, the world's sweetheart, is offering to be purchasing, he's going to purchase a wrestling ring for Soft Ground Wrestling in Uganda. SGW is an indie promotion that's caught the eye of several wrestlers in the community at large. They've been posting videos performing outside in a makeshift ring. And yeah, Cody's going to invest and buy a fully funded wrestling ring for SGW to help the Ugandan wrestling grow.
I'm an early supporter of SGW on their first GoFundMe almost a year back. You know, I grew up a little bit, 2 or 3 years in Nigeria. So as a kid, anytime I see poor African people, or African people, because if you research Uganda, you know, it's a very poor nation, but man, you know, I just remember as a kid seeing my next door neighbors, making the most out of limited stuff. And then you see that same spirit in this wrestling match, or these wrestlers in this league, and they're beating the hell out of them. What I would say, though, about that, and I'm glad that Cody's doing that, because Cody is absolutely the best. He's like if Homelander was nice, you know? And, but I think I would like, I'm going to call for this because I have zero weight in the industry, but I'm going to call for it anyway. I would like to make sure that they get some concussion education.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to make sure that we have some kind of view on their medical situation. I did some research on the medical situation in Uganda because I wanted to speak on this, but I want to make sure I knew what I was talking about, right? And it's dire over there. Like So I think maybe money going into those kinds of funds and specifically concussion education, because, you know, there's always a digital divide or educational divide amongst all kinds of people with various incomes. And I don't know if they have that information.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And well, hey, I think having a ring and not being taking bumps on the soft ground is a good first step.
A ring ain't great too, though. Like, you know,
something.
I mean, you've never taken a bump, right?
No, I think I would take a bump and then refuse to get up and just sit there and sob in the ring.
I would never take a bump.
Yeah.
Ever in my life. It is insane.
Yeah. That and I have weird, like, upper back problems. So it's...
Just sound soft.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of soft.
Like, I'd fight, like, anybody, especially if I'm, you know, like, super angry.
Sure. But
I am not taking a bump on that ring. You know, like, it's just boards, guys. It's boards and, like, a carpet as a padding. There is not much there.
You know what it is? At 20 years old, or 24 years old, I went on a roller coaster at Six Flags, and my back was messed up after that for, like, 2 weeks. Like, I just did not feel right. That's my nervousness about taking a bump.
Six Flags in Vegas?
No, actually, the one in Northern California in Vallejo.
Grew up near, well, one of the group homes I lived in, I had a life, folks, was near Six Flags Magic Mountain in California.
Oh, yes, the epicenter of roller coasters on the West Coast.
Colossus, the world's greatest, world's biggest wooden roller coaster, and the one very famously at the end of the Vacation movie.
Yes.
And let me tell you, that may have been where my lifelong fear of roller coasters was developed, because that thing was shaking and moving, and I got to know what was going on. Yeah.
Final Destination 3. It's like the jaws of roller coasters.
Like, it creaked and swayed as you're on it. Like, it's
not
cool. Yeah.
Well, I feel you. So, Wes Lee is involved, as we saw tonight, teaming with the New Catch Republic, taking on Gallus and after the triple threat on Sunday. And Zachary Wentz, former partner in the Rascals in TNA, and of course he was in NXT, is saying only one call away for Wesley. So who knows? We might see some more TNA to NXT crossovers. And I have to say, that was delightful seeing Dana Brooke, Ash by Elegance, show up Sunday night.
Delightful?
Yeah, I always loved Dana Brooke. I think she worked really hard and tried and got medium over many times, but just unfortunately never rose to that next level. And I want to interview her because I have one question for Dana Brooke, which is, why did she stop doing the front flip, the standing front flip in her entrance? Because I still contend that is top five most impressive entrances I've ever seen.
Well, her gimmick early on was that she was very athletic. You know? And I believe she had an injury, right? Some kind of back or something.
I don't recall.
Because I remember seeing her on that Breaking Ground show, getting injured on that. And
she was still doing it after that, though.
And then I think... they had her do some kind of like a bodybuilding competition when she clearly wasn't in that shape at that time. So for me, I think the real story is probably she was not treated very well by WWE. I just always had an impression by her that she was in a living hell and trying to make the best of it. That just all could very well be in my mind.
Well, she was there. I know she had suffered a great personal loss during her time in WWE. Her partner passed away.
Yes, but choking in a restaurant or something, right?
I don't recall the details, but she was with WWE for like 9 years. So I think it was nice that she was back. The weird thing that here's what I don't want to have happen with this NXTNA crossover. I don't want all these talents that WWE let go that end up going to TNA, and WWE is like, oh, we can get them back and get this pop and get the internet talking, you know, and they're just paying them like a small appearance fee. They're like, oh, because then they'll be like, oh, this is more economical.
I think it's fair to judge the situation by saying WWE is not, you know, in the charity business.
Sure.
They're not in the business of doing anything but help themselves like any corporation of that size. So yeah. Any kind of partnership and any kind of feeling we have of like it being some kind of great thing for fans, that is the purpose of it, but it's the purpose is to make money. And the purpose is not to help TNA, you know, they'll do it if it's part of it. So, you know, we just be careful, TNA. Don't give away the farm to be on NXT a couple times.
Well, I mean, I have two hot takes coming out of Battleground. One is that at WrestleMania in Las Vegas, they will announce that the UFC Performance Center, the UFC Apex, and the WWE Performance Center will be rebranded as the TKO Performance Center East, or TKO Performance Center West, and TKO Performance Center East. I think they're going to make that announcement.
That's solid.
And I think I could see them splitting it up when WWE goes to, or when NXT goes to the CW. I could see them having that option to do broadcast from either. But I think, and I've said this before, but even more so, I think WWE, because Scott D'Amore apparently was looking to purchase TNA in his last bit there. I think WWE is either going to buy a stake in it, or TKO will buy a stake in it, or just buy it outright. And look at that as a as another brand that's a step between NXT Level Up and NXT on the CW.
I think you're probably right about the TNA thing. I don't know how much, you know, the TNA thing. There's no way this is heading anywhere but WWE owning a piece or all of it, right? What else is this going to be? As far as your idea for the UFC, I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure how much of that is conjecture, but, you know, you think about shared facilities, you know, all you'd have to separate is really the training parts. You combine the weight rooms and combine the locker rooms, and you can really, you know, save a little money maybe, but probably just have some kind of just badass thing to brag about, which I'm for. Are you a big UFC guy?
Not really.
You know, in Vegas.
Now, here's the thing. Originally, when it launched, we were promised Bloodsport. I wanted to see a sumo wrestler against a boxer.
Well, you got it once
for like a year
in the first time. Yeah.
I know,
and that guy got kicked in the face. So they
I want the kumite, Matt.
He kicked his head off in that first UFC, and what we learned that maybe, you know, that's not what we want.
Yeah, what we learned is Brazilian jiu-jitsu is the ultimate fighting style.
Yeah, he's like, what's that guy doing with his gi? Why is that guy dead? You know, like, they didn't know what to do. He just put people to sleep, and everybody's like, you know. I got a Hoist signed glove back there.
Nice.
On the wall, because he's man, he changed fighting forever. He killed every notion of karate being effective fighting technique, and just... Everybody found out what fighting was like in 5 minutes.
I know, but it was such a it was so much hype before it started that it was going to be kumite.
Will it be a boxer or the sambo wrestler? Nope, it's going to be boring as hell, and he's going to break your wrist.
Yeah. The other thing, I worked myself into a shoot a little bit. I really was convinced Jordynne Grace might win for 5 minutes during that match against Roxanne Perez. And here's why. Alicia was asking, I was on the ramp. The reason you can't see me is because I was where the camera guy was a lot of the time, but I was sitting right on the ramp on the left-hand side of the ramp, right hand of the facing the ring, and wearing a Hawaiian shirt, very easy to pick out. But there was this one dude in the audience across from me who had an NXTNA sign. And I swear to you, Matt, this camera guy sat there with this camera pointed at that guy for minutes, and then he would go to the ring and he'd go back and point at that guy. So I was like, oh, Jordan's gonna win, and he's gonna get that camera shot of the NXTNA guy.
Did the sign look like it was made by a graphic designer?
No, it did not. It was okay. Sharpie written, but I'm just telling you, like, I was like, because I was thinking about, I was like, Jordynne could win this, and then Roxanne could win it back on the TNA pay-per-view, and that's a great crossover. Like, I was in my head expecting this to happen. So I was very shocked when Roxanne retained.
Yeah, and we might get Satina Marella.
Yeah.
That would be cool, too. You know?
Yeah.
to challenge for the women's championship.
Yeah, so, we'll see. Yeah. But so we're going to get into NXT in a second. Just want to also talk about the NXT tag champs, Nathan Frazier and Axiom, demand challengers. And everyone at TNA is getting in on this now. Like Chris Bay, Ace Austin, everyone's responding. Everyone at TNA now is like, we're down to do a WWE crossover. We're down to do NXT.
I will lose to Robert Stone to get on TV.
Hey, we'll see. Robert Stone's moving up in the world. I mean, Robert Stone is failing upward.
Not height-wise, but when it comes to him being on TV, let me tell you, a bomb could hit that place, and Robbie would be doing the interview afterwards. Just going, I guess we'll just start with me. I guess it's just me now, but I'm willing to I got twins. I got twins, so me and the twins, we're going to start a new NXT. It's going to be fine. I'll fill up 2 hours of TV time. It'll be fine.
Yeah, Bierman, he's asking, was the crowd as silent for Ethan Page as it sounded on TV? The crowd did not seem to like Ethan Page. It was either silence or booze. But, I mean, I guess that works with his gimmick, though.
Ethan's got to prove himself a little bit. I think his stock and hype value was hurt by the match, fairly or unfairly. I think you can argue that. I think that's the overall reaction, is that people are very excited about Ethan Page. And then after the match, much less excited about Ethan Page. But I think he's just going to have to, you know, and he can't be a flash, a sizzle, not steak guy. He's got to show what he can do in the ring. He's a very good wrestler. But outside the ring, he shows that main roster potential on the mic. He is compelling. He's believable. He's likable and hateable.
Yeah. Okay. I'm putting a note to remind myself to talk about the really interesting thing I noticed and learned about NXT during the main event. But tonight we're going to talk about NXT, the fallout from Battleground. We opened with hearing from the NXT North American Women's Champion, Kalani Jordan, after she won that title in the six-woman ladder match. How do you think Kalani did in that match? How do you feel about her as the inaugural champ?
I think she strikes me as the type that they're trying this out. They're trying this out, and if it doesn't really work with her, that's fine. She's got a future, but let's see if she's ready now. But maybe they have designs on other people who were in that match to really be the immediate future of NXT. I think she did good, credible, but there is not a lack of talented and good-looking women in NXT right now.
There's, especially for that mid-card title, I feel like almost every woman on the roster could be booked into a storyline that within 3 weeks would make them a convincing mid-card women's champion.
By far the most female-heavy
promotion,
in the world.
And Sunday was perfectly balanced. I mean, Sunday was Women of Wrestling, which I tried watching over the weekend. That was something.
Glenn, you don't have to watch all the wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it was on. It was on, man. We were flipping channels.
I mean, when I was a kid, when I saw Hulk Hogan was on the A-Team, I'm like, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
But now, not so much. But Hogan's in a karaoke bar and he's eating wings. So
I hear you. But no, here's just my quick, couple-sentence review of Women of Wrestling of WOW. They're really trying with the characters. They're really giving it their all with effort and production. The challenge is, there are so much top-tier women's talent that's been signed and being developed by WWE, that's been signed by AEW, that's in TNA. Like, Women of Wrestling is making the best of what's available, but it's women's wrestlers that are on the independent scene and not as far along in their journey, I will just say, when it comes to cutting promos. Not the wrestling. I think the wrestling is actually pretty good.
But overall, it sounds like you say that you're saying that they suck.
No. It's just not as far as it's not as polished as it is on WWE or AEW or TNA. That's all.
Yeah, it's Jeannie Buss, right? She owns that.
It's a good question. I don't know who's the current team behind it.
I believe it was Jeannie though, the owner of the Lakers.
Oh, got it. That makes sense. So Kalani Jordan was interrupted by Jada Parker, who was also in the match, which led to Jada being blindsided by Mi Chin. And then we had Mia Yim, Mi Chin versus Jada Parker in a one-on-one match, with Mi Chin getting a win, which was kind of nice with Gallows and Anderson out there.
Yeah, it was good. Like, she looks like she's wrestling better than she has in a while. And, you know, the Good Brothers, they got to find a place for them up there because they stick out NXT as, like, these, you know, main roster talent. Like, Carl Anderson, we all knew he can wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
And Gallows is this giant guy with a big personality. They got to be able to figure out something for those two than being in NXT, you know. As an act, those three, I don't see why they didn't put him with AJ, you know. But I guess it's a good place for them for now.
Well, they got some time on SmackDown last week and the week before with AJ's current story. I mean, I'm sure they're probably being flown to Scotland to Clash of the Castle. Maybe they'll try and interfere on his behalf. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but it's nice to see Meechan getting some wins. She's very talented, and this segment. So you haven't been watching NXT week in and week out, correct?
That would be correct. I did watch last week, and I did watch the Takeover, and I do stay up on the happenings.
So this Chase U segment with Duke and Riley and Ridge arguing and Andre Chase standing there and Thea Hale walking in and giving this recap and just yelling at them was a very cathartic storytelling moment to anyone that's been following this story long term, because NXT is like, don't get me wrong, they drop storylines all the time and just sort of hope you forget about it, but when they do continuity exceptionally well. And I thought this was a very good example of this time. It was a fun moment having Thea, like the small but mighty member of Chase U, freak out on everyone. But I thought it was very, very good to reset things a little bit before they move the storyline forward.
Yeah, for me, I had the beginner's perspective, even though I do know, you know, most of these people. And from that perspective, I was like, what is this? And I would be embarrassed if someone walked in while I was watching it, but if I could sell somebody on it by being invested the way you are, then, you know, maybe be different. It definitely, you know, it's definitely not fair for me to say it was terrible, unless I was looking at it for the first time like I did today.
I mean, legitimately, Andre Chase gambled all the money away. The university was in dire straits. JC Jane, the bad girl, joined the university, set up a Women of Chase U calendar as a fundraiser to get money. And then apparently during the time Andre Chase took out a loan from Tony D'Angelo and the family, and like they got a tag opportunity because he owed them. Like, this is some like deep Riverdale style storytelling going on.
I'm hearing you.
Yeah.
And I'm open-minded, but objectively that sounds stupid because
it's a wrestling show, Matt.
I'm hearing you, and I have a couple questions. What are the exact expenditures of Chase University where they need a budget? You know, and they need.
I mean,
the sweaters.
It's 40 true.
Bucks a piece, right?
Classroom.
A piece.
Classroom.
We all. I think we're being asked to suspend the disbelief beyond what is rewarded for with the art.
I mean, Matt, my argument is that in 99% of professional wrestling to date in the year 2024, dating back to the inception of it, 99% of professional wrestling storylines are, you think you're the best? I'm the best. Let's wrestle.
Yes. However, that doesn't mean, you know what? This is what I've learned to say in my, I'm not one of these guys who pretend to be angry. I'm going to just say, I'm really glad you enjoy it, Glenn.
Yes.
I think it's good. And I'm not sure it draws in the new fan, but to pay off the story.
It was nice.
I'm glad you had a little magic in your life tonight, Glenn.
Yes. It made me feel acknowledged to someone who's been paying attention. And don't get me wrong, with Gigi Dolin, they just completely dropped a My Fair Lady storyline a couple weeks ago where Ariana Grace was giving Gigi Dolin a makeover and teaching her to be a proper lady, and then Gigi Dolin, I guess, hurt her knee, and they just stopped the storyline.
So Gigi Dolin used to be Darby Allin's girlfriend, right?
Yes, Priscilla Kelly.
Yeah. So, and are they not still together, or are they?
No, she's actually dating Wentz, the guy that is in the Rascals, who got fired from NXT.
Don't take pictures with her. That's what we learned about Zachary Wentz. because he was, you know, he got that picture of the salute he did, and that's how he lost the job over at NXT, yes. Right? But the reason I ask is it's interesting. You know, we know Darby Allin is named after Gigi Allin, and so she's named after Gigi as well. Got to be, yes. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
And then they broke up like being forced to carry around half of a yin yang for your whole life.
We're not going to get into this or the details of it, but for people that know, they know. Like, some people like the idea of Gigi Allin, but nobody really likes Gigi Allin.
He pooped on stage.
I mean, let's not go further on what happened with said excrement. But and like his music, nothing to write home about. But
his music was good. He probably wouldn't need to poop on stage. That's like if someone heard my music and said to me, you know, Matt, I think your songs are good, but I think what you really need is to poop on stage. I think that's really, then I would say maybe my songs aren't that good. Like, no one's going up to Paul McCartney and going, here's a bucket. Here's a bucket.
Or, Paul, have you considered wearing makeup or tossing Faygo into the audience? At the audience.
Yeah, but, I mean, good for him for being remembered forever. I haven't researched him, but I have a feeling his life was terrible.
Probably. I think he also faked his death based on some pseudo-insider information I was given once.
That's coincidence, because I'm currently faking my life.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So Gallus made their way down to the ring. And we had Gallus versus Wesley and the New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate back in NXT. But that wasn't enough because Gallus won the match. I got to be honest, this is the side of NXT that is, I think, weaker on the storytelling department, more focused on the wrestling. So looking at it through that lens, Matt, how did this fare for you compared to some of the more story-driven elements of NXT?
Oh, it made me sad, Glenn. It made me sad.
Why did it make you sad?
Because, like, you wonder, what in the heck does Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate need to do to establish themselves on the main roster in a permanent way, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go, man, I don't know, man. Does Tyler need to stop? Does he need to cut his hair? You know, because he had a different look, you know? Does he need to stop wearing gear that looks like underwear? Probably. That's not helping. And then Pete, you know, he's good, but and they tried the tag team thing, but there were some things about the presentation that were off. And then you got the who was tagging with him again? Who's tagging with
It was Wesley.
Wesley. Wesley's great. I saw him as Desmond Xavier before he had any fame, you know, 5-on-5 with Ricochet and Ospreay and Drew McIntyre, and he was kind of the new kid and they let him get the pin many years ago. Great wrestler. And on the other side, you have perhaps the most tragic kind of NXT wrestler. Now, I know Gallus is this group that beats up Aaron. Sorry. I know it's
sorry, continue.
Let me explain.
Yeah, please.
So I know Gallus are the most tragic, and I was just sad watching it because I've seen this story before, and here's how the story goes. You got these undersized bully types, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen, guys. Like, you go up to the main roster and you're the Ascension. You know, like, the Ascension were this dominant team with Road Warrior music and paint on their face. And they get up to the main roster and they look like little guys, like little guys who aren't in good shape. And so these guys are, like, one of them was shorter than Tyler Bate.
Yeah.
Like, and they're bruisers. They're like, we're bullies, you know, but they're tiny. And unless they're going to wrestle Carmelo Hayes all the time, they're going to look like little tiny dudes getting beat up all the time.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, they did very well in NXT UK, and they were a dominant force there. I think the issue is NXT also has these two guys, Hank and Tank. Like, they've got, and again, it's developmental, but they've got these similar archetypes that I think sometimes overstay their welcome when there's too much of it, and they don't. Like, what they do, I think, is a very good utilitarian role. Like, you need some mid-level bosses.
Yeah, because the NXT UK pipeline to the WWE is, you know, it's probably a little bit less passable than the Donner bypass. You know, like, it's not really going to happen. So, you know, we've seen it time and time again, you know, but... They seem like good. I'd love to see one of their matches, you know. But when I watch NXT, I see it in the view of the way they see it, which is, hey, who's going to the main roster? Who's got the potential? What are we doing? That's always been the fun of NXT, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who was NXT. I mean, Alexander Wolf was in NXT UK. I'm just looking at the alumni list. Fabian Aichner. Dragunov was in NXT UK. He's on the main roster.
Exception makes the rule. You know, you name two guys who, as soon as you said them, you're like, well, that didn't really work out.
Yeah, JD McDonagh was Jordan Devlin.
Yeah, he's good too.
I mean, it's not huge. Noam Dar. I mean, who's still there?
You should have heard the wording of the bypass Donner Party joke in my head. It was awesome, and I just blew it because I was just like, how did I phrase that? But yeah,
and Gunther. Gunther's the biggest success story.
Gunther is like, you know, if there was no NXT UK, he's still getting signed.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that. Your point's made. Like the odds of that are a little tougher. Makes sense. So this match, though, I thought Gallus getting the win. Look, they're really building them up. Them being dominant makes sense. The crowd, that was the thing being there live. Like, the crowd loves Wesley. Wesley, I think, is the most over guy in all of NXT.
You know, are you a high flyer? Okay, so what? Yeah. How do you differentiate yourself? Because right now, I mean, are you going to do a high flying contest? Because Ricochet exists, Osprey exists, right? Mm. So how do you make a career for yourself as, you know, a high flyer? You got to have that charisma. You got to have that likability, the connection. People want Wesley to win, and he's going to be successful. I see him having a very successful main roster career.
Yeah. Oh, and Rhea Ripley also in NXT UK. After the original Mae Young Classic. But Wesley, I mean, here's the difference. And Ricochet leaving WWE, I think, is actually great for Wesley, because Wesley, I mean, look, go back on, I've been doing this podcast 8 years. And
it's almost like you're saying they just got like a spot for a guy like that. And then once Ricochet goes, well, he's like, now's the time.
You know, because here's the difference. And again, go back 8 years of this podcast, me putting a Ricochet over. I've said since day one, Ricochet's got one big problem. He looks like a movie star and talks like someone who's on camera for the first time. Wesley can cut a hell of a promo.
That's the difference. But I also believe that not being able to talk great isn't this hindrance that can be worked around, you know?
I mean, and they have been. Ricochet's had, I'm going to be generous and say, he's had three really good promos in his entire NXT and WWE run.
But he also hasn't been presented as a star.
You don't think so?
Not the way he could have. Dude, if you've been talking about Ricochet since 8 years ago, you know. Like, that dude, the potential he had.
Yes.
Like, it was like, oh, hey, the WWE just signed the greatest wrestler in the world. His name is Ricochet. you know?
He had that laser entrance, and they would say Ricochet, he's a video game with the cheat codes. I mean, they put him over big time. Even the fact he got the WWE Speed Championship, I'm going to say WWE never gave up on him.
I was talking to a kid today. One of my kids at my music camps is a wrestling fan, which is extremely rare. And I was telling him about Ricochet. He asked about Ricochet because he's leaving. And I was like, I don't think you get it. Like, because I said, you seen Osprey Ricochet? He's like, no. I'm like, that match is responsible for like a lot of good things, a lot of bad things, because a million people try to do that stuff and they thought everybody could. But Ricochet and Osprey, they're built different and they're special. And that match still holds up. It still does. It's just, and now it doesn't stick out as much because we've seen a million people. I was about to say some names and throw some shade, but I'm not going to. But, you know, like the Young Bucks or whoever, you know, who do that style of wrestling, but can't pull it off like that. Those two guys, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm calling it for All In. I think it's going to be those two.
Yeah, that'll be amazing. It's interesting that we saw more from Jada Parker backstage about her frustration of not winning the ladder match. Then we had that Sol Ruka video package. And the fact that they gave her that time, I mean, they know how over she is. I thought she was winning this title until the go-home show last week when she won the six-woman tag. And then I was like, okay, there's no way she's triumphant on the go-home and wins that match.
Let me tell you, when I watched the takeover, I'm like, okay, well, who's this? You know, I've heard the name, I've seen a couple clips, you know, and you're like, okay, gymnast, good looking, you know, I've seen it, you know, and I've seen it being done really well right now by Tiffany Stratton, right? And then this promo, and I think it doesn't matter if it's good or not, because this is what WWE does that AEW does not do, and that is create compelling reasons for you to like or dislike these people by at least making an attempt for a 3D character.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, all right, okay. And also, she came off really well. Genuine. She came off genuine. And how many times do you see a AEW promo where they talk, and I see things in these senses. Like, I want AEW to be successful. So I'm like, why don't they show us who these people are sometimes?
Yeah.
You know? And this was great. This is exactly, you know, people talk about storylines. It's not storylines. It's characters. It's compelling 3D characters. You can throw a compelling 3D character in a weak storyline and you're going to be into it, you know, and that's what they do well. The Chase U guy, I've watched him for a long time. I'm like, okay, I want to see him get his butt kicked because I've seen him do these vignettes for like years, you know?
Yeah.
And
oh, I know.
It's much better than having Andre. Is Andre, what's his name?
Andre Chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name's Chase?
Andre Chase.
Okay, my bad. That's pretty easy to figure out. But it's something that the WWE knows is important.
Yeah.
It is, you know, otherwise just don't give them names. Put them all in blue man suits and let them wrestle, because who cares what their name is, because they're telling such a great story in the ring, blah, 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 right? You got to want to know. You got to want to know more.
Absolutely. No, I think Sol Ruka is well on her way. When she hit the Soul Snatcher off the ladder, I mean, we knew that was coming, but that move is so impressive. That's the best cutter in professional wrestling, in my opinion.
You know what I think wrestling needs is more cutters.
Yeah.
I don't think we have enough cutters. But my understanding and what I've heard about Sol Ruka is that she possesses many qualities prized by the superficial male as well. So I think she will do very well in WWE and wrestling. You know, she looks great. She can do the gymnast stuff and she's compelling. Bring her up.
She comes across super likable. You know, Tiffany Stratton wants to be super unlikable. I mean, that's her shtick, which works well. But Sol is, I think very high ceiling for her in WWE.
Likeable is much harder to pull off.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems really sincere.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Stratton is maybe the most compelling, interesting, entertaining female wrestler in the world right now, but you know, if that's the mold, I'm for it.
Yeah. So you missed an NXT. Her exit arc was with Fallon Henley, who owns a ranch, and Tiffany Stratton lost a match to Fallon Henley. Had to go work on Fallon's ranch for a day and shovel manure, and hilarity ensued.
You know, Glenn, we had a long conversation before the show started about AI music.
Yes.
Because you discovered this AI music. And man, these names of these people, these names of the Fallon Henry. Fallon Henley.
Yes.
What? That's not, that's an AI name.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We'll do a list of 20 NXT wrestler names.
Go ahead.
List of 20 brand new original NXT wrestler names.
There's one really good one that's coming up in a little bit, but we'll talk
about it. Oh, here we go. Rogue Hunter. That's pretty good. I mean, right there, just stop the list right there. That's like, what more do you need other than Rogue Hunter?
That was a Wildcat's partner on Earth 2 in the Justice Society. It's on the table next to Captain Midnight and Atom.
Yeah. Maverick Blade.
Is that a real name?
No, that's what it gave me. Maverick Blade. Drake Onyx.
You did Drake Onyx.
Yes.
That's what they are. They're AI names. Yeah. These are. It is hard to connect with people with ridiculous names.
Asher Tempest. That's a little bit of a mouthful. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. They got the generator. Can you imagine HBK, the keyboard GIF? He's on ChatGPT coming up with the names.
You know, it's one of the funniest things is when the poor War Machine came to WWE. You know, and
yes,
we all found out they got those names from the top of a Google search. It was like Viking names. It's like Eric with a K and Ivar. That's the first thing you see. And they're like, well, I guess that's it. That's their names.
Yes. Well, tonight, Brynley Reese was very excited for her match about the Super
That's the one. Sweet. Brynley Reese.
Brynley Reese.
Brynley Reese went to school with Donna Martin, I think, Brynley Reese.
Funny. See, I always say that Thea Hale, who we saw tonight, she's the Donna Martin of Chase U. Like, that's her role in but no Brynley Reese,
dude, they should do the angle where she doesn't graduate. She's in Chase U. Donna Martin doesn't graduate.
Yes
Donna
I know.
Martin graduates. Donna Martin, sorry.
Yes,
I'm old. I'm so old.
I don't know. Yeah. We discussed Donna Martin graduates on this podcast like 3 weeks ago. Wendy Chu redebuted tonight, and it looks like she's been visiting the Firefly Funhouse in her dreams with this dark gimmick, which it's interesting. I saw nobody else speculate about that with this new Wyatt family debut, but this looked, she looked like Alexa Bliss did when she was under Bray's spell.
And this moment was just highlighted. You know, this Wendy Chu moment was great. Makeup's great. Music's great. Entrance is great. But really, what really hammered it home was the genius commentary of Booker T, who said, you know, she comes out, brand new look. And Booker T says, she even brought her pillow. So, like, if you're really trying to get inside, if you want to hear an announcer who's totally not mailing it in, like, totally, you know, isn't job scared at all, Booker T's your guy. Because let me tell you, if I wasn't in already, Glenn, the line, and she brought her pillow, that's it. I'm in, 100%.
You should ask Conrad if he needs a new co-host for this podcast.
You know what? That's probably not happening.
You could just do a fill-in.
Yeah, you know.
Just Booker, take me through your process.
You know, Booker T was a great wrestler. Was a great, amazing wrestler. But you know, when I saw him in Harlem Heat the first time, you're like, he's that guy, like he's the Shawn Michaels, where you're like, who, more than Shawn Michaels, you're like, who in the hell is that guy?
Yeah.
Booker T was great. But he has less business behind a commentary desk than Tony Schiavone does in a wrestling match. Like, Tony Schiavone would be more compelling and believable in a wrestling match than Booker T is in the commentary table. Just because you're good at, you know, something related, you know, like if you're good at like vacuuming a movie theater, that doesn't mean you should be, you know, a movie star. Like, there's different, just because you're connected.
Sure.
And asking Booker T to do commentary is like saying, hey, Tony, we're at first spot, Suri Kunrana. Let's go.
Well, what did you think? But let's talk about Wendy and her re-debut. So you like the new look and the new darker angle. Now, her gimmick before, I don't know if you know this, was that she sleeps a lot and she would come out in her onesie.
And she's like a little cute thing with.
And she'd come out and wrestle. Yeah.
She was like a baby. She was like a wrestling
baby. She'd
have
the braids, come out, wrestle. Crowd loved her. She was also a victim of the NXT parking lot. Blair Davenport took her out in addition to Sol Ruka and Nikita Lyons.
That parking lot.
Man. Yeah. Well, Blair's on SmackDown now, so you know. Hopefully the NXT parking lot's safe.
It's safer to wrestle with, against Nia Jackson than to go in that parking lot. Like, that is a dangerous parking lot. Although, I think Kairi Sane avoided both.
Hmm. Well, good match. But, yeah, Wendy won pretty easily. I like the submission move. I like that she changed her moveset a bit. It was fun.
That character could definitely catch on.
Yeah.
The presentation's great. The idea is great. It's unique. It's not corny. You know, like when Julia Hart came out with AEW singing the song and it's all creepy and stuff. If it's not corny and it's character-y, it's probably a winner.
Yeah. After that, Cody Rhodes getting the top of the hour appearance, giving some advice to Trick Williams, talking about people coming for them and their titles, telling Trick that it's going to be a battle royal next week to determine the new number one contender that he's going to face at Heatwave. And Trick invited him for the cookout, 4th of July week in NXT.
I'm in. You know, it's always, it's great to get a WWE star in a NXT ring because they act as like a height chart. So you can really see like, oh, well this, you know, like sometimes you're like, oh my God, like the most ridiculous image in NXT history is The Undertaker and Carmelo Hayes, you know, doing the fist. It looked, you know, it did not do. I mean, it must have been a rib, right? But like Trick with Cody, he looked like he belonged. Man, let me tell you, that Trick Williams held his own in that ring with that guy, and I have not seen him do anything ever where he didn't step up and look like he belonged. And nice of Cody to drop by to try to defeat AEW in the rankings and also take another shot at AEW. I mean that's his job, it's great. But Cody, man, Cody's comes off like the damn champ. It's like a big deal's in town. Ric Flair's in town. That's the vibes I got. And Cody plays the part so well. You see him like signing autographs, taking pictures in like one motion like that, like it's a skill. You know, when he was outside showing him, he's like swooping in and signing and turn around and picture and just like Fred Astaire of promotion.
I mean, that's the thing that AEW didn't get. I mean, look, we were both around Cody at StarCast and seeing the way that he just interacts with people. And it was clear that he was presenting himself like the goodwill ambassador of AEW to everyone, was so well loved. And it's just like, I think after that feud with MJF, like it was all downhill.
The AEW or people there who were able to convince other people forgot or didn't know the fact you and I saw that Cody Rhodes was the focal point of the whole thing. Like, yes, Jericho. Ooh, exciting. Kenny's coming over. Cool. Let's see what he does in the U.S. Big deal, right?
Yeah.
Bucks, man, they got their stuff in freaking Hot Topic, and they're selling all this great. Cody was the focal point. Everywhere in that hotel, anytime Cody Rhodes appeared, fans yelled, thank you, Cody.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cody. Cody was the guy they should have gone behind, and you know, I don't know the story with the MJF thing, but I do know that if there was no Cody Rhodes, MJF would not be where he is because Cody pushed him. Cody got him up there. Cody put himself on the line for MJF to be there. He told me so himself. And so Cody's positive legacy on AEW is forever. But, you know, my God, look at the man. He just like, you know, it's just like dress for the job you want, you know, and he wanted it. And you can attest, you ever seen Cody Rhodes without a suit ever?
No, I never have.
Never. He always looks just like that, like the job he wants. He wants to be Ric Flair, you know, save the dysfunction, you know, and he is, man. He is. Don't bet against Cody Rhodes, man. All love for Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think great job tonight. Great promo. I mean, the substance was minimal, but
it was to beat AEW. That's why he was there.
Well, and I think they wanted that. We'll talk about that backstage segment, which was just
brutal.
But okay, so we went from this to Alexis King versus Dante Chen in a Singapore Kane match, and I mean, this was fun for what it was. I'm surprised Alexis King got the win because his character is such that wins and losses really don't matter for him.
You know, I was thinking as I was watching this show, NXT is a tough show for me to review. I know too many people on this show. And Brian is absolutely one of those people. Brian and I go back a long way, you know?
Yeah.
But don't expect me to be fair or, you know, whatever. Because Brian, man, he had a history and he overcame a lot to be where he was. So people want to clown on him or whatever. Mm-mm, no, Brian's a persevere, you know, and a fun guy, you know. But what the Kane match, like when the Canes first happened, right? Like, you know, Sandman and Kabuki, you know, they were impressive. But when you have the Kane like this, it seems like the worst possible weapon in the world.
Yeah.
It's like there's no wrestling move you could do that causes less damage than a cane.
It seems like, I mean, look, this is professional wrestling, the world where people have clearly never used a sledgehammer before, and decide that the most effective way is to poke your opponent in the stomach with the blunt side, not even the thin side, but the wide end.
You ever seen anybody get stabbed with a chair?
No.
In wrestling ring, there was just something in the match which was just amazing to me. So, you got these guys who probably haven't done a lot of cane matches, but Brian's, you know, been in wrestling a while and his dad was a wrestler. So it starts with, what's the other fella's name?
Dante Chen.
Dante Chen, he's Singaporean, I assume?
That's a good question.
Because otherwise, why have a Singapore cane match? Because
it's WWE.
Singapore cane match was started with Sandman because of the punishment to the kid.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Because before that, it was, you know, something else cane, but it was Kabuki who brought it in with Gary Hart.
Yes. First Singapore.
Kids. There's some wrestling history for you kids. I'm just like spewing it all out. But
Did it really start because of the cane story? Nobody ever had a thought to you. I mean, these were kendo sticks.
Yeah,
right?
They were kendo sticks. That's right. Kendo Nagasaki. Sorry. Kendo Nagasaki, right. So they were kendo sticks, and it was started with Sandman at the time as a result, because it was a huge story, you know.
Yes, oh yes.
The Singaporean, the frat brat who went on a graffiti spree in Singapore and realized the president of the United States couldn't even get up out of a whooping with a cane from the government of Singapore.
That's right. That was a weird time.
So let me talk about this moment in this match.
Yes,
so the fella comes out and he kind of attacks Brian from the beginning, right? He hits him with the cane, but he's a little light with it, you know? You're like, okay, well, he doesn't know what to do, really. He's afraid of hitting too hard. And then they get in the ring, and I'm like, and Brian hits him really hard right in the face. It's the only way you get hurt with his cane. And then dude loses it, and it hits him right back in the face. Like, the first two hits are like Brian losing his mind and the guy just receding the hell out of him. Because his first hit was like a Hogan chair shot. It was like dink, and then Brian just runs, like puts his body to it, gets him right across the face here, and dude just hits him back the way, just like if you were to fight, you know. And I laughed. I thought it was funny.
Well, I'll tell you, so this reminds me of Battleground with the NXT Underground match that Lola Vice and Shayna Baszler had. It was very strange watching two MMA fighters have a worked MMA fight. Because now the edit they showed tonight made it look brutal and great. The submission holds worked, but man, a lot of it looked like they were very lightly sparring with each other and then trying to do a stage fight version, because they can both really do it. It was just the second they came out with neither of them wearing headgear, I was like, oh, this is going to be really strange. And it was.
You know, the move is to do the that running knee to start the match, like what's his fake Khabib did, where you just do a running knee to the head and you're like, oh, I'll nowhere, because the longer those matches go on, the more they're exposed.
It was good.
Exceptions, Tom Lawler and people like that, but you know, if I talked to Frank Mir about this before, name drop, Mir was like, training for wrestling is really hard because it goes against all of our instincts, you know.
Yeah. Every
instinct I have, you know. And you can kind of, now they have to go back, you know, and pretend like they're defending themselves. Man, that's a tough job.
Yeah. So I will tell you all, a little behind the scenes, that when the lights went out and the cameras were off, Lola Vice started pointing to people individually and thanking them for wearing her merchandise and supporting her, saying, I love you. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for supporting me. It was just a really nice moment to have a wrestler, especially one like her who carries herself as such a badass, like interact with the crowd that way. But I mean, I think she's an absolute superstar. She has a very bright future in WWE.
She seems kind of inevitable.
Have you seen her matches in Bellator when she was wrestling?
No.
So she was still doing the booty shaking after she was winning matches while wearing headgear and shouting out, like, follow me on Instagram. Like, she was delightful as an MMA fighter, but she was still, like, whooping people and winning matches, like, making people tap out.
I mean, look at Connor, you know? Yeah. I don't think Connor makes the top 10 all-time fighter list.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of amazing things, double champion and all. But how in the hell does a featherweight, how does a featherweight get so much money and attention?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be more than that.
You got to be, dude, if he can do it, we don't care about no featherweights in this country. And, you know, like, we never have. Dude, like, that guy figured out how to make everybody care about a featherweight and got the biggest paydays in the history of mankind. So, figure it out, folks. You know, promotion and presentation actually is more important to the sale of your product than the quality of the product.
So this moment was crazy. A couple weeks ago, JC Jane broke her nose in the match with Thea Hale, blowing off their rivalry. JC Jane was wearing a nose guard. Cody Rhodes just shows up and he's like, oh, by the way, here's my dashing Cody Rhodes nose guard.
I mean, if someone had an emergency and needed yellow paint, he probably had that too.
He was out changing flat tires in the Performance Center parking lot.
He's got all his gimmicks in his trunk. All his little gimmicks. You know, I preferred the Ricky Morton face mask, where it's just like this round, reddish clay-colored thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? You know, like, that's fun. They thought of it. They're like, oh, we should do this. That's genius.
Yeah.
But, again, those masks are custom-made, and I doubt his mask fit her.
It didn't look... She was wearing that, I believe, in the... Did she put that on the end segment? No, I can't remember if we saw it on her.
I'm not sure. But yeah. I'm sure Booker T, with his delightful insight, let us know one way or the other.
Well, Meechin's going to get a North American Championship match against Kalani Jordan next week. Eddie Thorpe made his re-debut tonight against Tavion Heights. And Eddie won. It's nice to see him back. I think... I like that they're leaning more into his heritage. Matt, when they launched his character, and NXT has done this a bit, or they were doing this a bit maybe like a year and a half ago, they were launching characters and they weren't settling on like one part of their identity. So when Eddie Thorpe launched, he was, he still is indigenous. He was also a DJ. That was a big part of his character as well. I'm glad they dropped the DJ part.
Yeah, that's they just want to see what it would take. You know, Eddie Thorpe, Carl Fredericks, you know, his name, New Japan young boy, you know, been watching him for years. It's so fun. One of the good things about getting older is watching the span of these careers, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he's great. I think, you know, they got some tidying up to do on this character. But I got a question for you, Glenn.
Yeah, please. Okay.
They're leaning into the heritage, the Native American heritage, which is strong and can be edgy. You know, you can have resentment. You can have all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
And they show, you know, Wahoo Millennial. I know. And then they show, you know, you can show Tatanka. And then they show Chief J Strongbow.
I know.
I mean, let me ask you this, Glenn. If you were to make a video montage of the greatest Asian actors of all time, would you include Jerry Lewis?
Probably not. I don't think Mickey Rooney would make the list either.
That was my alternate for the punchline, was Mickey Rooney. But I figured Jerry Lewis has more appeal. So
yeah, nor would I include Joel Grey from Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Man, it's just...
Or Emma Stone from Honolulu.
It's so off-putting because it undermines the whole character.
I know.
It undermines the whole character when you have... You know, and for those who don't know, you know, Chief J Strongbow, definitely a main eventer at times in his 70s and 80s WWE career, but delightfully Italian.
So was the American Indian in the Recycle or in the Don't Litter at.
Yes, I tried to Google his name for a joke, but decided it would be a good idea. You know, you'll never find anybody more conflicted than Chief J. Strongbow watching the Sopranos Columbus Day episode, because he can go either way on it, you know, because, you know, he's Native American, kind of, but no. Eddie Thorpe is trying to go, like, serious, legit.
Which is nice. It's good we can do that.
It works. It totally works. But you can't put Strongbow in there.
I know.
Like, Al Jolson wasn't black, folks. You know, like, you can't do that. If you're going to put him in that context, it's not. First of all, it's offensive. It's no good, right?
Oh, yeah, you couldn't do that now.
And then also, you know, it undermines the complete idea of it. So, no offense to Mr. Scarpa, WWE agent, Hall of Famer, Chief J. Strongbow, you play the role well. You're not a Native American, and he does not draw his strength from you.
I'm with you. I did think it was weird, and they showed the promo a couple weeks ago too, and I was like, I get what they're going for in kayfabe, but yeah, it's a little read the room, guys.
There are other Native Americans, you know.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. But it's good Eddie Thorpe won this match. I think he is going to be getting a lot of opportunities going forward. I think he does such a good job in the ring. I think he's very charismatic, great look. So yeah, I'm very, very high on him. The No Quarter Catch Crew was backstage.
Real quick, I do want to point out something. And I wrote this down because it was so good. Okay. So, you know, we talk about the greatest wrestling calls of all time. And I just want to say that I think Booker T had the greatest wrestling call of all time when Eddie Thorpe won. I wanted to bring this up so I get it right, okay? And he said, hello, as a three count. Let me say it again. As a three count goes, Booker T said, you know, it's like a stop the damn match. They've broken him in half. You know, they've killed him. You know, Corey Graves' line about the broken, the angel with the broken wing comes back to hell. And Booker T, hello.
That's up there with, do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Vin Scully, you know, Vin Scully could never hope to compel us. And did we talk about the little run-in by the guy there pretending doesn't work there anymore?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Brooks Jensen.
And again, you know, like if you really want your moment to really shine, you turn to Booker T. Booker T's your guy. And let me just say, Booker T, this happens. They pull him away. Security pulls him away. And Booker T takes off his glasses and goes, where's security? Bro, they took him away like a minute ago. Like, are you even there? He is stealing from the WWE. Like,
you should just get a
Booker T statue that just says random crap. Because, you know, I do think, though, they should use Booker T, like on CNN, in case there's like a national tragedy. He can make it seem less important just by talking about it.
I mean, Matt, you famously will invest a lot of time in creative ways if something upsets you or irks you.
It's just, you know, it really, because I said Booker T was not that good the other day, and then a lot of people did a lot of pushback. But guys, you know, I put something on Twitter. I should read the answers. What was your favorite line from Booker T on NXT tonight, you know? And most were negative. But somebody's, I think, wrote that he said something like, you know, there you have it. Trick Williams will wrestle against 25 people next week. And he just totally just said a whole paragraph and that was it. But I'm just saying he's a great wrestler. But again, you know, Shivani in the ring, Shivani doing an arm drag. That's what I think of when I see Booker T.
And I think he stopped doing it because I called it out on Twitter and he actually retweeted it or responded. Cause I was saying, he was using, you gotta love it. So many times I said, has anyone kept a running list of everything that Booker T tells us we gotta love?
That man is mailing it in at a level that's never been seen before.
I aspire to phone it in as much as Booker does.
That is like, I've never even seen that before. It's like F troop level guard post duty. Like, it is just, you know, hey, where's the check? I mean, the WWE announcers in the main roster, they still have this kind of fun little job scared kind of attitude, you know, where you can tell they just don't want to get fired because Vince was there for so long. They're just scared and they're worried they'll get yelled at for sneezing and all that. And Booker's down in Orlando chilling.
I mean, they just bring Morrow back.
I don't even think he watches the matches. I just think he just goes, well, that was good. You know, he's just reading a book, just yelling random stuff whenever there's silence.
I can confirm I was sitting right across from the man on the other side of the ring. He was paying attention. Like, he was looking up. He wasn't like, it would be funny if the whole time, like, he's sitting there just looking down, scrolling on his phone, looking at Twitter, and he's like, ha ha, gotta love it. Shucky ducky, quack, quack.
It is. Like, the other guy is like this young guy. He's like trying to make his way in the wrestling business, and this is his biggest opportunity he's ever had. And meanwhile, he's next to just this rambling, mumbling machine of apathy, you know, this god of apathy, if you will, you know, because he is drawing a check, you know. I mean, he is.
And I like Booker a lot, and there are times he says things where I'm like what he does during Trick Williams' entrance. There's times when he really enhances the show. And it doesn't even have to be eloquent thoughts. He can just punctuate things in a way where I'm like, yeah, that kind of works. But you're right that there are times where he either has like just a platitude or half a thought, or he's just sort of incoherent.
You know, and really, you're supposed to add to the match as announcer, right? You're supposed to play the music to the, you know. And Booker, previously in a match, the same show, I got this quote down. He said, quote, talk about action personified, unquote.
Okay.
What the hell? Like, that's okay. Just, dude, that it's like a 2K game. Like, that's his
account. Sure. Corey's kind of, here's what I'm saying. When you play the 2K games enough, and then you just hear, listen to Corey Graves talk, you're like, this sounds like a 2K game. And it's not that he's putting in that level of platitude effort of just like saying something generic. It's just that all commentary sounds like that. Once you listen to it enough, I think
Corey Graves gets crap and he's coming up with rapid fire, 3D chess, beautiful thoughts. And then you got Booker going, hello.
Nobody put in more effort than Morrow Ronello.
You know, I think Morrow was great in NXT. He gave them an identity and it's fine, but my man was into it.
Yeah.
You know, like, man. I just, that is not Booker T. Like, Booker T is not excited. Like, you don't get the impression that Booker T's happy to be there, you know? You don't get the impression
he was at first.
We all are at first, Glenn. Sure. And then you're just like, gotta go to work. Let me just talk about some bull crap.
Okay, so here's what you should do, Matt, when you want to invest time, is you should record your own alternate commentary for NXT, and you're like, here's how I could do actually a worse job than Booker.
You know, not that I would ever promote myself, but WWE and Bruce Pritchard, let me talk to you for a second. Bruce, you know me. You met my son. You like my son. You might not like me that much, but we're cool. But let me do Eddie Thorpe's theme song. I could crush that. Def Rebel is not good. We all know that, okay? No. And God bless them, you know, for writing the same song over and over again. I know that's hard, and their inner key is very tired, but... let me do the Eddie Thorpe theme song. Come on, Bruce. Come on. Give me a chance. That's just it.
Send him something on spec.
See, but then Bruce will be like, because he's busy, right? Bruce will definitely be like, sure, Matt, and then not listen to it and then tell me, hey, it was good, but we're just not looking for something right now.
Hmm. Send him something with a signed release attached to it that's like, if you pay me a one-time fee, this is yours in perpetuity.
I would be... well, money's a factor, if I'm quite honest with you.
Because sure. So ask
my FTR song on AEW that was on there for a year. It was a nice little bit of mailbox money, my friend.
No, but I understand.
I just think Eddie Thorpe needs a theme that, I don't know, says Native American.
I'm with you.
His theme now says, hey, Jay Strongbow.
I mean, most WWE themes right now are not great. And that's a whole other thing to talk about. But let's... thank you, CC, the No Quarter Catch Crew backstage. Charlie Dempsey telling Miles Bourne to bring Tavian Heights to him. So maybe there'll be a new member since Drew Gulak is now gone.
Yeah, that guy's good. I worked with his dad. It was cool. Hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Charlie Dempsey. Most of the backstage guys, I don't really dig. Charlie Dempsey, though, again, biased. I worked with his dad, and I'm a little scared of his dad. Like, he could kill me in a second, you know? but I believed every word he said. And I think he shows that you can't just go, oh, it's in the family, because that kind of undercuts the effort you put in. But let me tell you, he seems to be a natural, and he is getting better every time I see him.
Absolutely. Well, after that, we had Sean Spears versus Javon Evans. So I'm assuming you haven't seen Javon Evans before tonight.
I have not seen him.
He, and this is rare, he was on like NXT Level Up twice, and the reaction to him on there, it was like, we got to get this kid on NXT.
And I heard you talking about him.
I mean, he's great. And his promo is really good.
Yeah, and he has the world's highest cutter. Like, that cutter off that top rope is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sean Spears is a great wrestler, and I like him very much, but Sean Spears is responsible for me to have the most shameful picture of my life, because Sean Spears is about 6'4". He's about my height, right? And we took a picture together in L.A. at the live show. He was on our live show with Dax. And I have never, when I look at the picture, I've never looked fatter in my life than standing next to Sean Spears. Glenn, when I say we look like the number 10.
And for him, that kind of is on gimmick.
That is hilarious. Yes, we formed a 10 between the two of us. I look just very, very fat. Very, 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 very fat.
Hey, I had to watch myself on a PLE Sunday.
I'm never showing that picture to anybody. But yeah, I think Sean did a great job and also got the win. And didn't bury the kid, because he looks like he's 12, so he's got a huge future ahead of him, you know. And also, he's got charisma. He's got a little height. And he jumped off that top rope into the corner of that table, man.
Yeah.
I think he got a hysterectomy right there, man. Like, he got just stabbed by that thing. The guy who says he's his brother, he probably is, I'm not sure, is a follower of mine on a Twitter, and said he, you know, texted him and his mother because, and that's not a joke, because, dude, that landing was rough. It might be a broken rib, maybe. Just, he landed in the worst possible spot on that table.
Yeah. He's great, though. And I think, I'm telling you, I think some of these really acrobatic high flyers is why Ricochet didn't get the offer that he wanted. Ricochet's got the problem now that he's influenced this generation of wrestling talent who unfortunately become his competition, in the sense that WWE is like, for the price of what Ricochet wants, we can get five of these guys that can do that. And, well, I mean, just to be blunt, promo better.
Yeah. And that's the difference, right? That, so whether you think, either you think Ricochet's worth that or you don't, I do. I think he's worth that, and ways could have been found to present in a better way. I'm telling you, when he wrestles this match, if he wrestles Ospreay at All In, people are going to be like, you know how wrestling fans are. Oh, they're stupid for getting rid of him, you know. AEW is such a better place for him. You know, he'll just wrestle Phoenix and, you know, and Ospreay and, you know, get beat up by Brody King once in a while. It'll be great.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So afterwards, backstage, we then had the New Catch Republic. There's a No Quarter Catch crew and a New Catch Republic, who was back there with Nathan Frazier and Axiom. And Tony D and the family showed up. And it looks like we're going to have Nathan Frazier going for the Heritage Cup again.
So I have a statement and a question.
Please.
Statement is, I believe that one thing NXT could use more of is more ethnic-based factions. I don't think they've really explored the idea of grouping people together based on their race.
Have you watched SmackDown? Because, I mean,
it's a problem, you know? And NXT is just like, not only are we going to group you by this, but we're going to make you a stereotype while we're at it, you know? And we're going to go, like, really hard into that stereotype.
I mean, you could say the same thing about The Sopranos and The Godfather.
Yes.
And I'm comparing Tony D'Angelo and the family to those two, just to be clear.
I think
all three, the trifecta of Italian-American organized crime representation in media.
Yeah, screw Henry Hill. You know, like, not Henry Hill.
Corleone's.
Gordians are out.
The Sopranos and the D'Angelo family.
Sopranos.
If there's a Mount Rushmore, yes, Henry Hill and Goodfellas can be number four.
Yeah, yeah.
It's close.
Paul Castellano.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big Mafia fan, but I'm not a fan of this because it's just too cartoonish and not good.
I dig it. And he got over with the crowd. I think, now, to be fair, though, Matt, at the time they introduced Tony D'Angelo, it was early in NXT 2.0, and this wasn't happening in NXT. And here's what I'm going to tell you, and I've confessed this on this very podcast. The first time the promo aired, I think I was kind of making fun of it, saying like, oh, this was brilliant. And I think somehow by the end of it, I actually convinced myself, no, this is great. They had an angle where he was, Lash Legend used to have a talk show called Lashing Out on NXT, and Tony D'Angelo wanted to appear on there, and Lash didn't want it. So Tony cuts this promo in front of his car, and then he walks away, and then you hear somebody pounding on the trunk to be let out, and it was Lash Legend's producer that he kidnapped. And that was when I think I decided Tony D'Angelo is one of the greatest wrestlers in all of professional wrestling.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but they have killed someone in
canon,
right?
Drew Gulak, pretty deadly. They tried to kill.
They should have hung Drew Gulak with a sweatpants string.
I thought this with OTM, who we saw tonight, with Jada Parker, the two gentlemen with her. They used to have Scripps, who was in OTM, and that was Reggie, the sommelier who just got released. And I was like, oh, I wonder why they didn't let. I wonder why they didn't have Tony D'Angelo kill off Scripps as well.
It's too fast.
Yes.
Too fast. He's gonna be flipping all over the place, you know.
But you were just on that Scripps mask wash up on the beach.
He was in Cirque du Soleil too.
He's amazing, and they gave him one of the worst gimmicks ever with that voice changer and the orange and black mask. That was rough.
Yeah, that was, I think he's probably like Nathan Jones. He just turned around and said, never again, professional wrestling. Get me out of here.
Yeah. But this was what it was. Then we had the main event segment, which Roxanne Perez taking her victory lap in the ring during the closing segment of the show, talking that Ava owed her a thank you and an apology. Before that, we did see Mr. Stone in Ava's office with one Stevie Turner, who I'm just delighted is getting TV time. But Matt, her gimmick like a year ago was that she was both a Twitch streamer and a hacker. And then she like disappeared from NXT TV forever, which I don't understand, because she's got an amazing look. She's very good in the ring. She's very likable, but I'm glad she's back. But now maybe she's trying to angle for a job in the office or something. I'm just happy she's on TV, because I think she's got a very bright future ahead of her.
Yeah, these backstage segments fall somewhat between like a 2019 and Raw and like a, let's just call it that. I don't love it, but I think it's interesting with Ava and Robert Stone back there. Ava is part of the world's most populous demographic, which is people taller than Robert Stone, and that's what I noticed.
You're just waiting for NXT to announce the roast of Robert Stone, and you're like, I've got binders full of material.
He didn't know what a CPA anyway. So, but Robbie, like, is probably going to end up being WWE champion. That's what's going to happen after all this. Like, The Rock is going to be like, not so quick. I have someone I want to wrestle for me. And it's going to be Robert Stone with his, you know, shoe polish colored tan. And his, the most compelling battle that took place tonight, I forgot to mention, was between Robert Stone and the buttons on his shirt. Because they look like they're about to fly off and kill somebody. Like, there would have been deaths in that parking lot, because those buttons were fighting for their life.
Yeah, I think it confirmed that there's no wardrobe in NXT. It's bring your own clothing.
Like, Robbie just did like seven too many push-ups, you know?
Well, and then we had the backstage moment. Cody, on his way out, running into Sean Spears, Ethan Page, and Lexus King. And Cody saying, you're all in a good place, but I'm going to leave.
Not really subtle. Not really a subtle jab. They had those four guys. And they're like, we're in a good place. It's a good line. It's a good line. And, man, I don't know. It seems like something that wouldn't have been Cody's idea. That he's like, okay, I'll do it, you know? That doesn't seem like something Cody would do, is take that kind of... Because that kind of open shot is just so open to, like, you know, social media feedback. And also, it doesn't help. Like, he's got, like, the spotless image. It's amazing, you know? Try to find a bad story about Cody Rhodes. You won't. And I don't know, man. It just... You know, for Cody, I don't love it, but I get it. And it's also proof to anybody who ever wants to argue WWE doesn't care about AEW. They brought Cody down the night before the NBA Finals were going against AEW. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of stuff being talked about in WWE about, you know, let's just kind of put the brakes to those guys a little bit.
And we also got this. Ava tweeted this out. So there you go.
Wow, that's a picture for those listening of the four together. And the four is Lexus King, Cody Rhodes, Sean Spears, and Ethan Page. And Lexus King and is mad that he doesn't get to use his real name.
Is he, though? I'll do it.
Yeah, he probably is, because that's a hell of a name.
It is, but I think it would saddle him with... I think... Did you watch his Coming Soon vignettes where he made the... Mm-hmm. Like, I think trying to be the antithesis is a very interesting angle compared to what we see with a lot of generational talent. But that's not really his character, though. His character now is just that, like, he's the ultimate D-bag.
I think Brian needs to find his own way.
Yeah.
And I think Brian is not an actor. You know, he's not an actor. I think the closer that Brian gets to his real personality, which is like... You know, like when they say someone likes to have a good time, that usually means they drink and they do stuff. Brian literally likes to have a good time. If the music's playing, Brian's dancing, probably with a girl, right? Yeah. Brian will have a beer or two. I've never seen him sloppy, but I always see in him being a little bit more active, having a little bit more fun than everybody else. That's the real Brian Pillman Jr. Like he's very happy to be where he's at, and he always has a good time. And to me, that would be a character that rings a lot truer to him than, you know, this guy that's, you know, strangely named after stepdad, which, you know, I'm not for, but I guess that was Brian's choice.
I mean, if there were different powers that be, I predicted under the old, creative boards that when he was called up, it would be as Brian Pillman Jr. But I do think this is giving him a chance to chart his own way.
I think a lot of these names are given with that being in the option. I always think about Husky Harris and McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
Those definitely were not the names they wanted to bring them up with. Those were names to kind of hide their other names and to kind of see what they could do and kind of a rib, right? Right?
Yeah.
And God, they came up with those stupid names. But yeah, I think this is just, you know, Lexus King could hit, but they've always got Brian Pillman Jr. to rely on.
People predicted that Braun was going to become Rex Steiner or something on the main roster, and that hasn't happened. They're all in on Braun Breaker.
Yeah, like, man, that's such a bad name.
I agree. But so this segment with Roxanne, she got interrupted by JC Jane. She got interrupted by Lola Vice. By Lash Legend. So they're setting something up for Heat Wave, which is going to be Money in the Bank weekend. And I don't know. I think it could end up being a fatal four-way.
They got a lot of talent there, man. Lash Legend, man. You can't teach height, you know, and really coordinated. Took that very hard to take bump backwards over the top rope beautifully. Hmm. You know, beautifully. Like took it like she had a dance background. It was fantastic.
I mean, I'm interested to see what happens. I think because Julia, you know, who's signed, but she might be out for a bit. I think that was probably the original plan for Money in the Bank weekend. But I think this Fatal 4-Way will be good and showcase the talent even more. It's going to be here before we know it, right? I mean, they're going to Scotland this weekend. WWE is. And then, we're less than 3 weeks away from Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I mean, it is very cool how NXT is so focused on the women. You know, they have so many women's matches. They have so many women's segments. They're treated as the equals that they are. They're not treated less than. And it's going to pay off. You know, I think you see some of the women wrestle, and you can see, you know, like you said, some aren't super polished, you know. But, man, you can see the focus is on personalities,
yeah,
and on looks and on potential, athletic potential. And, I mean, WWE holds charisma. You've heard Triple H say it. Charisma is the number one thing. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what we judge them on, charisma. And, you know, that's not how Tony Khan judges his talent. So it's always interesting to me to compare, you know. Like, I think for Tony Khan, charisma would be like a little bonus, you know. Like, but how good can they drop to a hold, you know. And it's just a different way to look at things. NXT, they're starting to grow a new organic fan base, I've noticed too. Like, I'll talk crap or whatever, and there are people who like the show and will defend the show. So it's worth checking out.
No, I agree. So with that in mind, final thoughts on NXT tonight?
I thought it was okay. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. Like, you know, I think it moved along. I was, you know, like at the end, I was like, when's it going to end? Like, it was getting to me. And then I literally said out loud, ooh, sweet, an angle. Like, that's as soon as the last thing, I was like, cool. What's more important, though, I think, is the Shakespeare of commentary, Booker T. Just really, I mean, still got the pillow, he said. Ah, hello. And talk about action personified. That's like neither a borrower lender be, you know? That's some good stuff right there.
I mean, it's definitely different. I do think lately it just hasn't seemed... There was a time that I think he brought a lot of energy to it, but I think that... energy, I think, is sometimes what he offers, especially with Trick Williams' entrance and some of the other entrances. Like, when he's fired up, I think he doesn't need to do very much.
I knew a guy a few years ago, before the quarantine, a few years before, who had a virtual distance learning job, you know, like, sure, he had to do. And I don't think there was video. It was about 10 years ago. And, you know, as long as his mouse moved, they could tell he was working, right? Has to move every whatever. So he would go play golf, and his wife would move his mouse every 10 minutes at his house. Now, Booker T should aspire to that amount of work ethic. That the level of mailing it in is less than wife makes the mouse move guy.
Okay.
Just, I mean, good for him. Good for him. But I think I made my point about Booker T today.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to give everyone a secret about NXT. I've never seen anybody talk about this. I don't think anybody knows this. I'm not going to name the gentleman, but I met him. So I'm watching the main event with Ethan Page and Trick Williams. And I'm seeing, like, the crowd is cheering and doing their thing. They start chanting, Ethan Page, you don't go here. They start doing their thing. And I see this guy who, not wide shot enough, but is like lifting his arm, like going like, hey, hey. And sometimes he's like, bring it down, bring it down. And sometimes he's like, okay, come on, like, let's get excited. NXT has a hype man.
A producer, yeah.
A producer, but I've never seen this before, and I've been to a lot of wrestling shows.
I heard he was caught on camera.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. I heard Alvarez talking about it.
So I met him after the show, because I was like, I said, once I noticed you, I couldn't take my eyes off you.
Who did he work for?
He works for NXT. He had a headset. So... he actually explained it to me beautifully, like, why this all happened. And he said during the pandemic, when they had all the performance center people there, he said it was very quiet watching wrestling. And we had a lot of green talent that was standing around behind plexiglass. And it's like, we had to conduct them. We needed somebody to be like, make some noise for this, do this, bang on the glass, cheer, boo, do something. So now if there's a lull in the action, he's like the human applause sign.
Has that been going on at Full Sail too?
I believe so. We didn't get into it too deeply. I mean, and I don't want to give his name. He was exceptionally nice, but it was kind of cool to see how, he just made sure that even if you got really invested in the match, that you remembered, like, you're there to participate in the audience.
Yeah, that's for someone like me who grew up in Southern California, my formative years. And, you know, a lot of times the field trips will be to TV shows.
Yeah.
TV tapings.
Yeah.
So, like, they have those guys there. You know, I went to see Tic-Tac-Toe as a child with the Boys and Girls Club. It's called the Boys Club back then.
Yeah.
And went there and saw Joker's Wild, saw Charles in Charge. And they always have that guy there, you know. On every
warm-up comic.
But also they'll have these producer types, these young people on both sides of the audience, telling them when to cheer and when to clap and coming in a commercial and all this stuff.
And in fairness, there weren't a lot of situations where he was absolutely needed for this, but he just made sure that there was no lull in the reaction. So, and clearly tonight, I was trying to see if we could get a glimpse of him, but no, you could tell tonight, I mean, the crowd was not nonstop cheering, but I think that when it's necessary, like, he helps make it happen.
I mean, you're talking about a guy or, you know, who's there making the crowd cheer and telling them to cheer and telling them to be quiet. I think they should get one for Booker T. They should get a guy there who says, all right, Booker, here's what happened. Act excited, you know, act happy or act sad or, you know.
Wait, do you think that when he signed up under the old leadership that Vince was still in his ear, like telling him what to say? Because we've always heard the commentators say, and now that Vince is gone, Booker's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's much different when you're not being yelled at for sneezing, I'm sure. You know,
yes.
Like it's, yeah, that might be a case. Like someone might be in his headset and he's like, why has anybody cursed or demeaned me in the last 5 minutes? Because I'm used to being treated like that, you know? Maybe he's not being produced well, but Booker kind of has a intimidating presence about him.
Absolutely.
I could see him being hard to produce, like in person. Like he's one of these fellas that's like 6'1", 6'2", but like made completely out of muscle. Just, and also has a scowl on his face that makes you not want to say, hey, how's your day? You know, so maybe he's hard to produce too. Like, hey, Booker, here's an idea. And he's like, I have an idea for you. And you're like, never mind.
This is, you know what I would love? They don't include the announcers in this enough, but I've said, and I was bummed that Al Snow used this on the wrestlers, because I've been saying wrestling is the Muppet Show for 5 years now. But I want them to go full Larry Sanders Show with NXT and show us someone going over to Booker and like being like, you really need to get more into this. Did you just say she brought her pillow? That was your commentary? And then Booker's just going to sit there silent for the next segment out of protest.
Do you know who really wanted wrestling to be the Larry Sanders Show?
Huh?
It was of Russo.
Huh?
Russo used that example. I heard it. He said it to me, you know, like when we did the show, he was like, I just want to be Larry Sanders Show. You know, what you want to do and what you have the ability to pull off are probably two different things. Okay. And you could see, in especially when he had free reign in WCW, that he definitely tried to be like that, you know? So he had to pull it off, you know, skillfully, but it could be done. But some, like, I like what they're doing. What's the fella? What's the guy who's doing the I Got Fired gimmick? What's his name?
Oh, Brooks Jensen.
Yeah, I don't think that's catching fire, but...
No, it is not at all. Yeah, it is just ice cold. Yeah. I mean, look, here's where I get messed up. So he was with Josh Briggs. Here's the problem. Their name were Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs. I called them Brooks and Dunn for 2 years, and I couldn't remember who was who up until this angle.
And I mean, you know, I think he's really going to learn his lesson after Booker called for them to call security a minute after he was taken away. So now he's deep.
And you should be afraid of that guy. That guy has the haircut of a kid you would not trust with a lighter.
Yeah, dude. Nice try. That ain't working at all. Like, it's not working at all. Like, it literally took me out into the, like, oh, they're trying this thing.
Yeah.
You never want to, like, even you and I who watch wrestling a different way than maybe other people do, you never want to be like, oh, here they go with this thing. They're trying this thing.
They're trying. I mean, they had him outside before the show started asking fans if anyone had an extra ticket and could get him in. Like, I like that they're committed to it beyond just what we see on TV. I think that's always nice when they do it. But it's just, it's kind of a weird angle. It's not like he's not... For him to be like, I'm, you know, the black sheep of NXT, I don't know, because he wasn't over before. I do not.
It didn't even work when Owen Hart did that. Yeah. You know, it didn't work when Frankie Kazarian did that.
I mean, it worked with what Heath Slater did.
Yeah. It didn't work when they, you know, stuck a box on Kip Sabian's head for a year for no reason at all. And just the audience paid for flights, you know. Oh, yeah. By the way, this will go nowhere. Let's do it for a year. You know, like,
yeah,
like it. It's not a proven. You know what? It did work though. Hillbilly Jim. Hillbilly Jim. When he came, he was a guy in the audience who was there, and eventually he caught on, and eventually bad guys messed with him, and he stood up, and then Hogan pulled him out of the crowd to be like, "Oh, can you wrestle?" And he's like, "I know how to do a hip lock somehow," you know, and it worked out. So, not since Hillbilly Jim. By the way, there are parts of the country that still believe that Hillbilly Jim's Hall of Fame speech is still going on.
Okay, so I figured it out. I believe JC was wearing the dashing Cody Rhodes mask over her other mask in that last segment.
So that was a burning question for you that you had to research.
Well, I just saw the video online again of him handing it to her, and I was like, because sometimes I like to check Twitter just to see if anything has happened, like that photo that Ava tweeted.
What is Twitter?
Oh, it's now X. It's it was once known as Twitter. And this dude bought it and he changed it to X. He's had like the X domain forever, and he was like,
"The joke here, folks, is I live on Twitter." That's the joke. Yes. So you know.
And then I'm surprised they were able to use X after the Jamie Kennedy experiment really popularized the phrase "you got X'd." Like,
I mean, the Twitter experience has not been great since Elon took over. You know.
Yeah, I mean, but kind of that nightmarish hellscape that you're also like, well, this is certainly an entertaining way as we head towards a dystopia.
Well, Twitter now, it's interesting because Twitter was always like really unhealthy and very, very toxic, you know? And then someone's like, you know, it'd be really cool if we just make it super racist too. Let's make it really racist because that's really going to, you know, I think... Elon's like, hey, what if we took it and just added some racism? I'm from South Africa. I know how to do it. So here you go. Here's some racism for your Twitter experience.
It's definitely not what it once was. But I know we've gone long tonight, but...
If you have Matt Coon on a show, you're going to get me long. I'm very sorry. I talk a lot, and we knew this would happen. Matter of fact, I got the email that say, hey, we need a show... we need a sub today because I can't really commit to the things, and by things I mean anything in life. And and then I said I can't do it. I'd camp all day. I was tired. But then I go, did I just see that it said Glenn was by himself tonight? I go, that'd be fun. It'd be fun, just me and Glenn. And then maybe, just maybe, I don't know, I could make fun of Booker for an hour. So
see,
I got paid money for making fun of Booker T for an hour. That's American dream, Glenn.
Yes, I understand. Well, I look forward to the supercut and then your own commentary trying to outdo.
That's happening.
Yes. We got a super chat tonight. Bigfoot Sneakerhead, $1.99, saying hope all is well. And they saw me on the PLE. I was getting texts from people, DMs. Somebody was like, you wore a Hawaiian shirt to a wrestling pay-per-view. You know, I don't know. It's balmy weather out. It's 105 degrees in Vegas. I want to be cool.
I like the name Bigfoot Sneakerhead, sir, because I believe I am both as well.
Yes.
I am an old white fella who wears a different pair of Jordans every day. I love some Jordans.
I went to the Skechers outlet today.
Yeah, and also,
I'm a nerd.
I wear a size 17, so that's a Bigfoot. Like, not like I'm like this big, impressive guy, but I'm more like Will Perdue. You know, he's playing with the Bulls, who had like a size 22, you know.
17 is impressive.
That's what I've been told, you know.
Yeah, and, I'm like a 10.
Are you from China?
I don't know why I'm a 10.
Do they bind your feet at birth?
And I'm 5'11".
Dude, that's a small foot.
Yeah, it kind of. And I have high instep. So like, Skechers are nice because they flex, so the tops of my feet don't feel like they're being bound down. I don't know. It's a whole thing.
As a 5'11" guy with a size 10 foot, like you say, I guess my question is, are you sure your feet weren't amputated?
Possibly. I feel like they're big, but
an homage to Kerry Von Erich.
Yes, I have strong calves. Well, there you have it, folks. We're gonna wrap this up. You can follow Matt at Matt Coon Music. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Thanks, everyone, for coming out. I'll be back Friday to talk about SmackDown. And Matt, always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you back here next time.
I think I'm going to see y'all on the 19th for Dynamite.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
Well, look forward to that. And we'll get you back here next time, everyone, on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.